for 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
It's the 9 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House, our on the house hour. We've been talking about something on your home, castle, or cabin. If you will follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you can see we've got pets and wildlife as a topic for September. You can get your home maintenance calendar by just letting us know where you would like us to send it to. Email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. We'll add you to our mailing list if you're not already. And we actually just went to print with our 2022 calendar, and we'll be sending those out here shortly. We got a request this week to send a calendar to Akron, Ohio.
I love it. Glad to hear it.
Don't know that a lot of our landscape and gardening talking points are going to all line up, but there's a lot of similar things in the home that will. So doesn't matter where you live, we'll include you on the mailing list.
A lot of you listeners are always curious about how we come up with the topics, and it's generally from feedback from y'all, questions and inquiries we get all week long at the office and on the internet. And we knew pets were going to be a focus in this particular month. And Jennifer was walking in the neighborhood recently and actually had to chase a bobcat out of the neighbor's yard. And our dogs were in the backyard barking their heads off. And I thought, there must be somebody back there in that alley this time of night. That's a troublemaker. So I went out with my, full force, aggressive attitude on and a light, and was face to face with about 8 javelina. and man, everybody was having a fit. And then the other morning, I'm down on my hands and knees in the vegetable garden, and I spot my first cantaloupe on the cantaloupe vine I have growing vertical. So I reach in there and I lift the leaf to observe this cantaloupe, and I'm face to face with a 4-foot snake. Now, I don't know who jumped higher, me or the snake, because I didn't stick around long enough. But when I'm looking for a cantaloupe and I lift a leaf and all I see is this big viper-shaped face staring at me, I think, hey, we're gonna get somebody from Arizona Game and Fish, and let's talk about wildlife encounters in your backyard. So I have enough friends at Arizona Game and Fish. I said, I want the best person on the entire state staff to talk about this. And everybody directed me to Amy Burnett, who's joining us this morning. Miss Amy, thank you so much for coming on Rosie on the House. Let's talk about what kind of phone calls are y'all getting at the department about wildlife encounters. I've seen some horrifying headlines of actual injuries and hospitalizations and dogs being rushed to emergency vet facilities. What are y'all dealing with right now?
We get all types. You'd be surprised. I get the emails of all the incidents that come through, and some of them are hilarious. Some of them would make good late-night TV, and some of them are downright scary, and some of them are tragic, whether it's someone's dog or cat or someone that has a really, scary experience. We take everything, we listen, and we, give advice. And mostly what I like to do is tell people why things are there. There's always a reason. So, Rosie, you're talking about finding a snake in your backyard or seeing some javelinas, around your neighborhood. There's always a reason animals are there. It's not a coincidence. When someone throws something on Facebook saying, I can't believe I saw a bobcat in my backyard, they might not be able to believe it, but I can take one look at that backyard and say, well, here's why it's there. There's always a reason. So, yeah, maybe we can answer some questions for people today and talk about what people can do to stay safe.
If y'all have a question that you'd like to ask Amy, feel free to give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. And my wife, sweet Jennifer, will pick up the line, and we'll find out where you're calling from and what your wildlife encounter is. We get a lot of questions about birds of prey at this time of year. We see a lot of hawks moving in. We had six Harris hawks move in our backyard, and now they've actually moved a half a block away, and they're living in someone else's backyard. But Amy, what are y'all? What and you know, I'd like to just before you answer that, I'd like to give a little tip of the hat to the Game and Fish Department. Listeners, do y'all realize that our Arizona Game and Fish Department manages over 800 species of wildlife in the state of Arizona? We have such a diverse terrain and habitat and broad spectrum of species. That's a big job. Amy, I just hats off to the department for as great a job as y'all do.
Well, on behalf of the department, thank you very much. And I just have to say, you know, it's an honor to work with such talented individuals. I mean, you don't see them, you know, they're behind desks. Right now, a lot of us are behind desks at home, but the subject matter expertise that is within the department, it's just amazing. I mean, you've got experts in all different subjects. So, you know, when I have a question about a specific animal that, you know, that I can't answer, I go right to them, and it's like having the best encyclopedia, but in person. It's pretty amazing. And they do a lot with so little. And most of so they're wildlife experts in their subjects and biologists, and then we have these wildlife managers, and some of them have, actually a lot of them have hundreds of square miles of territory to cover.
Oh.
So if one isn't able to respond to your neighborhood, it's because we really do a lot with a very small staff. So I have to give some kudos to our wildlife managers.
I don't know how many other game departments have to manage that wide a spectrum of species over all the different kinds of terrain that we here have in Arizona. Let's talk, Amy, a little bit about Mrs. Jones. She's walking her spaniel down the neighborhood and has a face-to-face encounter with maybe four or five adult javelina that are maybe trailing three or four brand new javelina. I've had horrifying encounters with javelina in some of my hikes. What would this pedestrian with her terrier, what would you tell her to do?
So with every animal that you encounter, there's going to be a difference in how you react. So with javelina, one thing you should know about javelina is when they smell dog, they think coyote. telling the two apart, going, this smells like a spaniel, this smells like a coyote. So they smell dog, they think coyote, and then they react. So sometimes this woman gets too close to a javelina, they could actually go on the defensive or offensive and actually charge. So, and another thing about javelinas, they have a really poor sense of sight. Great sense of smell, horrible sense of sight. So they may not realize how close she is, where exactly she is. They just smell her. So the best thing that Mrs. Jones should do is make herself really big, make a lot of noise, and then just let them know that she is there. Don't be tiptoeing around. And then also, if I've got a dog on a leash, I would definitely turn around and walk away. Don't run. And basically give them a really wide berth, because if you walk towards them, you know, they've got little reds, those babies that they're protecting. But even without babies, you know, the coyote being the arch enemy of the javelinas, they're going to react to that dog even more so than just one person without a dog walking down the street.
So with the coyote, is the coyote food to the javelina or vice versa?
Coyote is one of the main predators of javelina.
Okay, all right.
So they think that a coyote is going to take their babies. And even if they don't have babies at the time, we've seen it over and over that they can be aggressive towards people walking dogs. In fact, almost all of the incidences with people, someone's been walking a dog when the incident has occurred.
I do a lot of hiking through McDowell Mountain Park, all the way from Sunrise Peak all the way out to Tom's Thumb and Pinnacle Peak. And it never ceases to amaze me in my hiking out there How many people have two earbuds in and are jogging down the trail? I always tell people, look, if you do that, leave one earbud out. I had to stop a jogger the other day and say, you may not hear it, but about another 40 feet down the trail here, I just put a rattlesnake into that creosote bush over there. I mean, you're jogging along. You cannot hear the snake's natural warning defensive signs. I'm surprised we don't see a lot more rattlesnake bites from the earbud jogging mountain runners.
Well, I want to say two things about that. First, a rattlesnake is, you know, who's sitting on the side of the trail waiting for prey to come by is not going to strike you because you're running by. They don't need to waste their venom on you. They're just, so most people walk by lots of rattlesnakes and don't have any, you know, any problems at all. I don't make that, probably doesn't make people feel better, but that's the reality. They know exactly how big you are. They know exactly how, you know, that you're not on their menu. So they'll just kind of sit there and wait for you to go by. So unless you step on a rattlesnake or step really close to it and it happens to be stretched out across the trail, most people don't even notice when rattlesnakes are there. So, but the second thing about earbuds is that they've got these great things right now. Great earbuds. There's different, I don't want to say specific brands, but because it would be illegal for me to do so, but there's some earbuds that go right in front of your ear, and they don't actually go inside the ear canal. Oh. I'm a trail runner, so I use those, and then I keep it at a low volume, because honestly, I'm more likely to get run over by a mountain biker who doesn't see each other than I am to step on a rattlesnake. So I like to keep all of my senses open, but you know, the earbuds now that that go in front of the ear and actually use
the real key is low volume, because I do running a lot, not necessarily on the trail, but when I bike, I have it at just the right volume. I can hear a car a block away approaching from the back. So yeah, it's all about volume.
Yep. We're here this morning.
You know, just awareness.
Mm-hmm. Amen. We're here this morning with Amy Burnett, Education Information Coordinator for Arizona Game and Fish. If you've had a wildlife encounter, you'd like to question Amy about what you should or shouldn't have done that time, or what you should or shouldn't have done in the future, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. When we get back, we'll talk coyotes, bats, bears, scorpions, and cacti.